Our gospel today begins with some Greeks who say to Philip, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." I can't help it. Child as I am of the 1960s and 70s, as soon as I read those words, my thoughts turned immediately to George Harrison's My Sweet Lord, where he sings, "I really want to see you, really want to be with you, really want to see you, Lord. But it takes so long, my Lord." Hastily leaving aside that these words were addressed to Hare Krishna rather than to Jesus, let's focus on George's insight that to see his Lord also means wanting to be with him. Likewise, the Greeks in our gospel want to do more than just look at Jesus. They want to know him and to be with him. And Jesus, at first glance, seems to offer a disconnected response by talking about a grain of wheat that must die to produce a harvest. In fact, it's an appropriate and a necessary answer, because if the Greeks want to see and be with Jesus, if the disciples want to be and see Jesus, if we want to see and be with Jesus, then we need to know that he will suffer, die, and be resurrected. The hour to which Jesus refers is a time when he will be tortured and tested, and during which he will prove himself, his purpose, and God's saving plan to the fullest extent. Up to this point in John's gospel, Jesus has frequently said that his hour has not yet come, but that indeed it was coming. But here, now, Jesus makes the dramatic declaration that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. From this moment on, things will escalate, because the reason for Jesus' appearance in human flesh is about to be fully realized. Glory will be one aspect of Jesus' hour, but it will also be accompanied and preceded by the scars of suffering, rejection, abandonment, death, and burial. In our first reading from Jeremiah, God promised to make a new covenant with God's people, a covenant written on their hearts. Jesus is that new covenant, and in him, God has united God's very self with us with bonds that can never be broken. Jesus looks death in the eye and sees victory, for through his death, the new covenant is established, and we are raised from sin. Given that Jesus was talking about his coming death in response to the Greeks' request, it can be seen and understood as a sign that Jesus now realizes that salvation isn't only for the chosen people of Israel, but for everyone. He offers a universal invitation to discipleship. "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be." The Jews and the Gentiles are equally challenged to participate in Jesus' hour, sharing in his suffering and death, as well in the glory of his resurrection and exaltation. Jesus' hour is described in three ways. Firstly, as a death that gives life. The proverb about the grain of wheat was borrowed from the everyday experience of Jesus' contemporaries. Planted seeds buried in the earth seem, for all practical purposes, to be dead. Yet they begin to grow and spring forth from their furrows to live and to nourish. So also with Jesus, his death will yield a life that nourishes and sustains others. Secondly, Jesus' hour presents believers with a crisis situation, and those who who accept Jesus in faith will be free of the power of evil. And thirdly, Jesus is our, provides access to eternal life to everyone. Lifted up at his finest hour, Jesus will draw everyone to himself. In the next 2 weeks, we will experience every aspect of Jesus's hour. And we are invited to join our own struggles, our own scars with those of Jesus, and to follow him confidently to the glory that awaits him and us.